What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, it's good morning to transport consultant and consultant to the RIAC, Conor Faulkner. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
Good news on the road deaths front.
Almost, depending on whether your glass is half full or half empty. But there's been a lot of focus on road safety this week. You've been chatting about it yourself, Pat. The guards had their big PR blitz with their clever new HGV that they were enforcing with. The Indo was editorialising about it on Monday. And for me, it's getting a lot of government attention. So I'm delighted with that. We were calling for it a couple of months ago. I think the patient responds to treatment. If you start focusing on road safety, it really does respond. Now, when we were talking about this in April after quarter one, it was looking like 2024 was going to be disastrous. It was a 23% worsening on 23 figures, and that was back in April. We've gained ground over the summer. It's terrible to talk about a list of deaths as if it was good news, but the total number of people killed so far this year is 131.
How many this time last year?
129.
So we're two more. That's all.
That's all. I mean, if you know, within the margin of error, if you like, from the point of view of looking at it statistically. And to me, it's clear that there has been an increase in Garda efforts. There's a bit more visibility about them, and it's getting a lot of attention. The Road Safety Authority has been under pressure, but I suppose they'd like to think that you're getting the flak when you're over the target. And at least they're active now, and their new TV ad, which nobody seemed to like, is at least running. And as I say, you're seeing evidence of guard activity. So for me, this is what we've been preaching on road safety. It's not as if you have to reinvent the wheel. You just have to do the diligent stuff often and stick at it.
Now, looking at the fatalities up to the 17th of September 2024, pedestrians 21.
Yeah, and that's a disappointing number. And we often talk about car drivers because they're the ones who can cause the damage. I don't have doubt on this. I'd be really fascinated to see. I think some of those pedestrian deaths, no more than the drivers, are caused by mobile phone use and distraction.
But we don't know.
No, and that's just me anecdotally and talking to other cyclists and stuff. You know, if I get knocked off my bike, I can tell you it's going to be by a pedestrian with a phone stepping right in front of me. And I do think that in our towns and cities, that's probably playing in a little bit to the danger. But we think about road safety as being purely drivers and cars.
Well, when I look at the stats, 52 drivers died. But when you look at motorcyclists, and they're 17. A much smaller fraction of the driving population, 17.
I know. And if you do the sums on that, you discovered that, you know, per kilometre travelled, a motorcyclist is, what, about 12, 13 times more likely to die than a car driver. Motorcycling is a dangerous activity. It can be done safely. There are very responsible motorcyclists, but all of the things being equal, it's a really, really high risk way
and
to get on
a new figure we will see more and more of, e-scooter deaths,
three so far this year. And you know, again, those are very small numbers, and you have to be careful about commenting. They're not all what you might classically think of as a road death in the same way as might happen to a cyclist. There's some sort of misadventure elements with some of the injuries that we've been seeing. In some cases, you've got youngsters using e-bikes inappropriately. Those things need to settle down and just become part of the road normality like a bicycle. But when they do, we're going to see stats there as well. For the first time this winter, we're going to have legally used e-scooters on icy roads. So, you know, I wonder what that'll tell us when that time comes around. But for the moment, what I'm encouraged by is that, you know, we didn't have to reinvent the wheel or do anything crazy. We just had to apply some Garda resources so that Garda are physically being seen, beef up the RSA and get them more active. They're down at the ploughing at the moment doing their thing, and have a degree of government prioritisation for the nuts and bolts of road safety. Now, that really does respond.
Responsibility for your own safety. We're always told do not victim blame. So if somebody gets knocked off an e-scooter and suffers the consequences, but they were wearing dark clothing, no high vis, no helmet, and maybe just the glimmer man providing the light front and rear. I talked to Eamon Ryan about, you know, saying that everyone should really be wearing a helmet on a bicycle or high-vis to make sure they're seen. He wouldn't have it. He would not have it. He said, we'll never get children to ride a bike to school if they have to wear high-vis and wear a helmet.
Yeah,
and I thought, come on, you know.
I know you do have to have some degree of personal responsibility. I mean, that has to be in the equation somewhere without calling it victim blaming. Where I agree with Eamon Ryan is I wouldn't make all that stuff compulsory, because I think there's good evidence to suggest that if you bring in a compulsory helmet rule, for example, what actually happens is cycling numbers go down. Nevertheless,
let's cycle dangerously and have loads of people killed, knocked off their bicycles, and if they knock their head, tough.
The best solution.
I don't know. That's not logical.
The best solution is widespread voluntary helmet use. If you make a law about it, Pat, the unintended consequences, you hit cycling numbers. And in fact, if you look at cities like your Munichs and Copenhagens and other European cities for which we have data, very, very large numbers of cyclists, no compulsory helmet or high-vis or anything like that. And the sheer scale of cycling makes it safer for everybody. And that's kind of where we want to get to. Mind you, you know, we're heading into autumn and winter now, and you put high vises on the kids going to school. You make sure that they're using helmets, that their bikes are properly lit. And I think anybody arguing against that is just being a little bit irrational.
You're against compulsion, like Eamon Ryan. I think even if it might save lives.
I don't think it will, is the point. I think compulsion has unintended consequences. And that, for me, is the difficulty with it. Make it compulsory, and it doesn't matter what you intend. You might think, OK, I want to protect cyclists in collisions. I'm going to make helmets compulsory. That's my intention. The consequence of that law, if you bring it about, will actually be to reduce the numbers of people who cycle. And paradoxically, in a funny way, that actually makes it more dangerous. When there's a big flow of cyclists and it's very normal and it's very common, it becomes safer. So as I say, that's the tension. But you know, the shared objective is to get more people cycling safely. And the debate then is really how best to bring that about.
Re-accidents and fatalities. Can we ask how many cars on the road now versus 5 years ago? Any fatality is terrible, but from my observation, the traffic has increased exponentially in the last few years, and therefore, comparatively, safety must have improved.
Well, in the last 5 years, the vehicle population has not increased much. We're around about 2.2 or so million private cars. Car sales have been relatively anemic over the last number of years. The fleet has become a little older over the last 10 or 15 years, and total numbers have not increased much. So it's a little bit static in that regard, which is what makes me think that we can be fairly clear about our road safety statistics. Mm. You know, there aren't that many confounding variables. When they're going up, they're going up. When they're coming down, they're coming down.
There are complete bandit cyclists out there, says this texter. They appear to have a God-given right to go through red lights. I challenged a middle-aged woman on a bicycle who went through two red lights, and she gave me the middle finger.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I mean, the weakest component on a bicycle is the Mark I human being who's riding it.
And it's wondering, though, you know, you're harking back to the 1950s when people had the high Nelly kind of bicycles, very heavy, could not go fast, no Lycra in sight. The world has changed, and yet you want, and Eamon Ryan wants, cycling to remain just the same. You know, no licensing of bicycles, no record of who might scratch the side of your car as they whiz by on their e-bike or whatever. You don't want any of that. You don't want us to know the cyclist who knocks down the old lady or this e-scooter. We are not to know who they are unless they're apprehended.
Well, I don't know. To what extent do you want surveillance and monitoring to pervade society? And you come up against practical
problems. You do it for motorists.
You do it for motorists, but they're in control of an engine, Pat. Their capacity to cause third-party damage
yesterday,
is enormous.
I saw two schoolboys aged about 14 whizzing down a hill on one of those e-bikes with the big fat tyres. Now, the speed must have been in excess of 40 kilometres an hour.
So how would tighter...
If they hit somebody, and they could have hit me because they were unsighted under the last moment, but they didn't hit me and the dog... What am I to do if they whiz off into the middle distance?
Okay,
what am I to do?
But what's the solution, Pat? And is the remedy going to be worse than the disease? And I think if you take, for example, compulsory registration of bicycles and required third-party insurance for anybody who cycles them, okay, you might say, oh, that's a pretty good idea. That's going to make for a fairer society. But actually, if you implemented it, what would happen is you'd devastate the number of people cycling.
No, but
you wouldn't achieve your social objectives then.
only to identify them. They don't necessarily have to carry insurance, because that would be an inhibitor, I know. But the fact that you'd be able to go after them if they did injure you, isn't that important, that you should be able to do that?
Well, I don't agree with a system of registration. I just
Why
don't.
Why not?
I think it's...
Because that's if it costs nothing... Well, and we know who you are.
Well, I doubt if it'll cost nothing, but it's also fairly excessive social monitoring. So say, for example, the incident that you refer to there, and when incidents are very serious, they do get investigated by Gardaí. So let's say, God forbid, a youngster in that situation hits an old lady and causes her serious harm.
Life-changing harm, perhaps, life-changing a broken hip, you know.
Now, the Gardaí then have a whole host of tools that they can use, up to and including CCTV and facial recognition and all the sort of detective stuff that they will do when it's been a serious incident. But if you want to scale that up to a sort of a monitoring of the urban landscape.
See, I don't understand. In the modern world, those kids on those e-bikes or scooters or ordinary bikes or whatever have a phone in their pocket, and Dr. Google knows exactly where they are.
Yeah.
Because at the end of every month or every quarter, you'll get this list of all the places you've been from Dr. Google. And the guards don't have that. But Dr. Google does.
So to take, for example, the youngster that we were speculating about who's hit a little old lady, can the Gardaí take his phone out of his pocket?
They don't know who he is.
Well,
He's gone like the wind around
the
corner.
That can happen in any street incident at any time. And I'm not sure the protection that you're proposing would A, work, or B, be without huge unintended consequences. To take the mobile phone as an example, can a guard at any time ask to see your mobile phone and look on it to see where you've been? And most of us would agree that the guard shouldn't be allowed to do that, because it's an excessive monitoring capacity for our police.
But all
force
I'm saying is
society.
That Google knows where you are, but the guards don't.
True. You know? The CCTV cameras that belong to Cork County Council, they can look at the streets, they can pick up Pat Kenny's face and see him walk around corners and see what he did. The capacity to monitor us all of the time is there. Whether we want it, whether we should allow it, is perhaps a different question altogether. Right. And when it turns to, as I say, registering cyclists, so if I get on a bike, the guards know who I am. I think it's a big sledgehammer aimed at a small nut, and I would fear that it would cause more problems than it solved.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Conor, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.